You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10pm with Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and Tom Morley in the studio. We have jumping from Ludlow and Wincanton in the afternoon, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the fibre sand at Southwell. We also have All Weather Racing throughout the evening at Chelmsford City as well. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Rory DeLaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am very well, thanks.
Good. Good man. Now, going to talk about a few things before we get stuck into the action on Thursday, one of which we've kind of already spoken about a little bit on air over the past few days. I know you've been on William Hill Racing Radio, and I get the sense you might be a little bit sick of talking about it. So we'll go for it again. The Clarence House Chase at the weekend. We've got Undersir, who we know plenty about. Top grade one performer. He's 4-6 at the top of the betting, but he's easing out due to support throughout the week. Finicky Henderson's novice Brain Power, who's now 5-2, having been as big as 4-1 at the start of Tuesday morning, I believe it was. 10-1 then for Calmore Lock. Top Gamble is 12-1. 16s for San Benedito. Bigger prices for the remainder. It's quite exciting to think of Brain Power taking on an experienced rival who we know plenty about in the shape of Undersir. Do you buy into the amount of support he's had though through the week?
Yeah, the question is how much actual money has changed hands for him to move. I don't know what price was he when the market opened here at Hill?
4-1.
Yeah. And there's been, you know, he's been well talked up and people have been talking to Nicky Henderson and he's confirmed him on target for this, and it's no surprise to see him move, but you could get a little bit of a correction of the market at the weekend, because he's got plenty to find with Undersir on form. Obviously, we need to be sure that Undersir is going to turn up, but he's been a regular visitor here over the years. He won this race at Cheltenham last season, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because it was transferred. But yeah, I'm not mad keen on Brain Power for the Arkle. But Nicky Henderson's never been shy of running his top novices against established opponents. He won the Game Spirit a few years ago with Sprinter Sacra and did the same thing again last year with Altior. Altior then went and won the Celebration Chase at Sandown last season as well. So there are certain trainers who will never... Willie Mullins will never run his novices against established performers. But Nicky doesn't mind, particularly with his good two-mile chasers. So it's not a massive surprise he's doing that. Although when he's taken both Sprinter Sacra and Altior to those graded chases, they've been thoroughly established. Brain Power's only won one race over fences.
Mm.
You know, he's impressive at Kempton and then he unseated at Sandown when he's probably beaten at the time. So there's a slight, he's got a little bit more to prove than one or two. I think he can be a very, very good horse on his day. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him win this. I wouldn't be backing him at 5-2, though.
Okay.
I think, you know, obviously, if Undersir doesn't travel over,
yeah,
and that blows the race apart. But I think if Undersir turns up, which he's expected to, then he hardens at the head of the market, and Brain Power maybe drifts to more like 7-2. But he wouldn't, you know, he's not a horse to ignore at that kind of price. Depends on the ground a little bit as well, because he wouldn't want it hock deep, whereas Undersir would.
Mm.
So the softer it gets at Ascot, the more that plays into the favour of the market leader, and the more you wonder whether Brain Power might possibly be rerouted. So, well, you pay your money, you take your choice with that.
Yeah, depending on the ground as well, Ascot. Yep. Could depend on where we see Bartus Hill for his reappearance.
Yes.
I think he's out. He's down in the declarations for both, or in the entries for both Haydock and Ascot, and I think they're going to wait and see what the weather is with to where he turns up. But it'd be good to see him back, wouldn't it? Obviously incredibly talented before his injury.
Yeah, I mean, how much ability he retains is no one knows, including his trainer. Essentially, I wouldn't have thought he was ever a sparkling workhorse at home. And obviously, he had that, what did you do, a slip of hook or something? A slip of tendon off a hook
yeah,
at Cheltenham last season. you know, it'd be great if he did come back and showed all his old ability. But the jury's out, obviously, until we see that. And I think it'll be a watching brief with him.
Okay. Plenty of other good racing this weekend. We've got the Peter Marsh at Haydock, as well as Champion Hurdle and Supreme Trials there. We've got plenty of good racing at Ascot. Anything else that you're looking forward to this weekend?
No, I was going to essentially wait until I got some declarations. Hopefully there'll be a few 48-hour decks.
Yeah.
It's now really the tracks that decide whether they want to have 48-hour decks for some of the races. Used to be all the sort of grade 3 handicaps would be 48-hour decks and the grade 1s. Not the case anymore. But yeah, hopefully there'll be a few that will be, so I can get a good look at them on Thursday afternoon. And then, you know, I don't want to start looking at races in depth when the weather's like this.
Yeah.
In case we lose meetings as well.
Yeah.
Because there aren't enough hours in the day as it is. But yeah, it should be a good weekend's racing. But it's a very frustrating month because of what the weather can do and how unpredictable results can be. And indeed, you know, just predicting fields is not easy at this time of the year either. So
yeah,
I'll not count any chickens until they're hatched.
We've already lost racing at Ayr this week. It's already heavy ground at Haydock as well, so it's already going to be testing there. Soft ground at Ascot as we speak, but the weather's not the best. So we'll leave this weekend there. Just want to talk to you about one other thing as well. The Dublin Racing Festival, a lot of talk of it in the press, seems to be getting quite a bit of hype behind it. And interestingly, Jessica Harrington talking up the chances of our Duke for the Irish Gold Cup, says that he's in flying form at home. He's going to be A1 ready for his return. And he's 7-2 joint favourite with Road to Respect for the race here at William Hill. Annabelle Fly is 5-1, 6-1 for Coney Island, 7-1 Balco de Fleur and Jack Adam. Coloto Vic is also 7-1, who talk of him actually becoming William Hill's main Gold Cup contender. And 8-1 or bigger prices for the remainder.
If Annabelle Fly wins an Irish Gold Cup, I'll have to give the game up, I have to say. Although in my current form, that's
I'll get an Annabelle Fly.
Likely. Yeah, I don't like Annabelle Fly particularly. It's a fun. I do like our Duke. He was very disappointing in his reappearance, but they found a problem with him straight afterwards. They've worked on his back, and it's interesting that Jesse said he schooled particularly well because his jumping was the issue with him last year. But he was hugely impressive in the Irish National. People sort of playing that down, saying, you know, it's just a handicap, but it's a very competitive race.
Yeah.
I was impressed with his performance. It's very hard not to be, and he beats solid yardsticks in that as well. Does need to step up if he's going to turn into a Gold Cup horse. But it seems to be a season of change in Ireland with the 3 mile chasers.
Mm.
We saw that in the Leopardstown Christmas Chase, and it's a really interesting Road to Respect. I suppose is the horse to beat on the evidence of that.
Yeah.
He seems to have kept improving. I don't think he wants beyond 3 miles, to be honest, but, you know, it's officially a dead 3 miles at Leopardstown, and he was quite impressive at Christmas. And, of course, he was one of the widest margin winners at the Cheltenham Festival last season in the Festival Plate. He won that by 20-odd lengths, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So a very impressive performance, and he's kept improving since. So it'll be good, again, for Noel Mead to have a top-class prospect to take the Cheltenham. Coney Islands, again, represents one of the smaller yards, but yard that's had the Cheltenham Festival success in the last 10 years or so. And he was a really promising novice who missed the second half of his novice season and came back and won it. Was it Ascot he won at?
Yeah.
It wasn't much of a race, but he showed that all his ability was intact and did that nicely. So he could easily put himself into the Gold Cup picture if he continues that revival as well.
Yeah, I find Coney Island the hard one to grasp, really, in the Gold Cup betting, because he's pretty short on what he's done.
Yes, I mean, in terms of the form that he's shown, he's far too short. But, you know, if you want to extrapolate his form, you look at the horses that he was running against as a novice, and say, where should he be now? Then you can rate him a lot higher in terms of what he's actually achieved. Novice form obviously is rated lower than the form of second season chasers, but you expect similar kind of improvements. And when you look at his form lines as a novice, they've worked out tremendously well. And the fact that he just showed that, you know, the chassis was still intact last time out is promising. He needs to, you know, do something a little bit more substantial between now and then, but you'd be hopeful if he was yours.
Coney Island 9-1, by the way. Our Duke is 10-1 in the betting as it stands at the moment for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Mike Bite is the current favourite, obviously, at 7-2. And don't forget Festival non-runner insurance as well. So if you back anything in any of the races at the Cheltenham Festival and it doesn't turn up at the festival, if it runs in another race, that doesn't apply. But if it doesn't turn up to the festival, you get your money back in cash as well. So any stake, any horse, any race, you get your money back if it doesn't turn up at the Cheltenham Festival this year. And that is Non-Runner Insurance here, live again at William Hill.
Different to the way some firms are doing it, but quite a good. I mean, and I guess that means you're getting slightly better prices as well.
Yes.
than if you're giving money back with horses going to different races. So you do at least have to judge which race the horse should be in the first place.
Yeah.
I think that's fair enough. I quite like that.
Fahin's a good example of that, for instance. I think he's top price with us here at William Hill for the Champion Hurdle. He's only going to turn up
in the Champion Hurdle. Yeah.
If he doesn't run, you get your money back. So that is how festival insurance works. That's a look ahead to some of the markets and so on and so forth. I'm actually hoping that Our Duke comes back and puts in a sparkling performance, because if you said to me at the start of the season which horse was you most looking forward to this term, Our Duke would have been one of them, because he looks so incredibly talented and open to any amount of exciting potential this year. So
there are a couple of horses there who are not bad bets with the non-runner insurance, horses who need to run really well in the Irish Gold Cup if they're going to be considered for the Gold Cup at all, and he's one of them, and Coney Island's probably the other one. So you know, you could see Sizen Joel's not going to go for it, obviously, is he? And he's going to turn up anyway, but there are one or two horses who would need to pass a test, as it were. Road to Respect probably goes even if he doesn't win that, because of his form at Christmas. But Our Duke and Coney Island, essentially, they would both need to come through that test. So either win or go very close. So you've got a decent insurance bet there if you want to get involved in those.
Hmm. Let's leave that there. Let's move on to action a little closer to hand, because we do have racing coming up on Thursday, of course. Ludlow is the high five meeting here at William Hill. So if you find a winner on that card in a race of six or more runners that goes on to win by five or more lengths, you'll get 15% on top of your winnings, as well as a free bet. And Rory's picked out two races for us at Ludlow that he's got an opinion in. So the first of them is the 2 o'clock. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over the extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs. A field of seven set to go to post for this one. Rory, which of the seven comes home in front?
I very much like Acting Pieces, always have done. She's a lovely game mare. She's not one right-handed, but she jumped out to her right a little bit at Wetherby last time out, when beaten less than half a length, running on really strongly in the Roland Merrick at Wetherby, as I said. And she was off the bridle a fair way there, but just kept finding. She's a bull jumper as well. Her only moderate run this season came over hurdles. She's a much, much, much better mare over fences. And she's got a really solid profile. I've always liked her. She was disappointing in the Roland Merrick last year, a little bit out of her depth at that stage, but she's developed a little bit since. Still only a seven-year-old. I feel she'd be, if you look through her form, although she's not one right-handed, she hasn't had that many chances, and she's run to form when she has run on right-handed tracks. So the only concern would be how much of a test of stamina this is, because she's looked that she wants 3.5 miles. That she wants to get beyond three. It is the rule in America is marginally short of 3 miles, as this is, so it's the same sort of trip, but it'll be it should be a fair test, and there are a lot of these that aren't in great form, so I thought this was a weak race for the grade. Aubusson used to be a very good hurdler, but he's never been as good a chaser. He was comprehensively beaten in the cross country at Cheltenham last time out, and you know, he'd have chances on old form, and the yard's in very good form. He'll be ridden by Chester Williams, this time Nick's son. The ride shared between Chester and Lizzie. I just don't think he's quite the force of old Aubusson, to be perfectly honest with you. Who else will be reasonably sure? There might be a bit of money around for a local show at prices. He was promising a couple of seasons ago, but was injured and has lost his way. James Bowen's been booked to ride him, and I think people might pick up on that. But I thought he's got a lot to prove currently, and it's hard to know what to do with Jonjo at the moment. He's struggling for winners, and Champagne Atara might be second favourite for this. But he was beaten a long way at entry last time. His form figures don't look too bad, third, fourth, but he's beaten 40 lengths in his most recent start at entry. Jonjo Jr. rides him. I just think he's got a little bit to prove at the moment, and all in all, it's not the strongest contest. Acting Pieces is used to carrying big weights, and she needs Gina. Really, she's always ridden by Gina Andrews. She will not be ridden by a man. as in she will not allow a man to sit on her at home.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
So she can't. There's no point booking a male jockey to ride her, because she wouldn't let them on in the paddock. So it's always Gina, and she's gone better for Gina than she has for Bridget Andrews as well. So that's a good reason to keep the partnership intact. She's just the best horse in the race, really.
Yeah, and like I said, finished fourth last time, doesn't look all that impressive, but only beating half a length in the Royal America.
Yeah,
and
it's a really good contest. Yeah.
So, yeah. That is the selection then in the 2 o'clock acting pieces, the pick for Rory Delaghi, and the 3:45 is the next race that we look at. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle again, the extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs, the distance for this one. We've got a field of 11 here, and on first impression, this looks rather tricky. Not all that many horses come into this in sparkling form, really.
No, and the one that I particularly liked of those who do arrive in a degree of form is Gamayne, for the banging form Nick Williams yard.
Yeah.
We've been talking over the last couple of days about how many yards are quiet at the moment. It's a time of year when a lot of stables just struggle for form and struggle to keep the horses healthy. One who isn't struggling is Nick Williams. His horses are absolutely flying. He's had a treble today.
Yeah.
Across the card. And Gamayne should have gone very... He went close enough over course and distance last time out. He fared best of those who raced prominently in finishing third in the end. And he might have won if he hadn't made a late mistake as well. So with a slightly... more even pace, if you like, here. He looks to be handicapped to win. He's running off the same mark. He's been placed off higher marks over fences and over hurdles of late. And with the yards in really good form and Chester claiming 7 off him, he has to go close. You know, everything's in place for a big run. There is the possibility, if anything improves, he could be vulnerable. But there aren't too many obvious improvers in this field. As you said, not many arrive in very good form, and not many are obvious improvers on paper. So Gamayne just needs to repeat his last run to go very close. And it's not like it's a standout. You know, he's run to a similar level in his two previous starts as well. So he's very consistent, and he just needs a break.
Gamayne then, the pick for Rory in the 3:45 that goes along with acting pieces in the 2 o'clock. Thank you very much, Rory. It's been a pleasure as always. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you very much indeed.
There you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Thursday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and Tom Morley, your studio team, for the action at Ludlow, Wincanton and Southwell throughout the afternoon, and Chelmsford City during the evening. Plenty to get stuck into. Do join the guys on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:10. But in the meantime, thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.